14. I'm glad to see you.
Amen.
I begin reading in verse number 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus commanded his disciples, constrained his disciples, to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You may be seated. I'm interested in this boat journey. I realize that we're all on the trip together, if we're the children of God. These men had just finished, I was looking at this anew this afternoon, feeding 5,000 from the hands of the Lord. And then they gathered up 12 baskets full of the fragments. There's no record here that the disciples ate with the 15,000. So I'm going to say, according to Milby's gospel, that probably they took them 12 baskets, that's one apiece, on the boat with them. I say, there's a lot of times when other people get blessings and the preacher don't. There's things happen that the common people don't understand, that the man of God gets blessings later. There's been times at my prayer place I got paid for preaching. Times when I lay down at night, when nobody else knew anything about it, I woke up the other night and lay there and wept, just lay there and wept and said, "Thank you, Jesus."
Amen.
You say, "What's it all about?" None of your business. It's between me and Him, you know. And Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a boat. This word constrained is tougher than asking them to get in a boat. And if you got in, He constrained you. And He put you in. This is almost saying He picked them up and put them in the boat. And said, "I want you to meet me on the other side while I send the multitudes away." Now, here in this little boat is His church. And He cares for them. I want you to remember that. And He's going to take care of them. But they're going to have troubles and trials. Now, I know how it is with you being a Christian. I know what your journey's like.
That's right.
No matter who you are, you have your ups and downs. But Jesus Christ is a constant. He don't move. He doesn't change overnight. And so now He's gone to the mountain to pray. I thought about that today. And His disciples start out for the other side. And the travel, one of the writers said, 25 or 30 furlongs, about 3 to 3.5 miles. And the storm hit. Now, Jesus knows about this storm. This is not just something that happened. Since He's God and made the sea and the dry land and made the tree that they made the boat out of and the oars out of, and He's in control of the wind. I don't see anything wrong in the lives of these disciples. As far as I know, they're following the will of God. But a storm's coming. Those kinds is hard to understand. We don't know within ourselves anything wrong, but trouble comes. And God knows about your trouble.
Amen.
So they're in a storm. Now these men are not landlubbers. They are fishermen. Most of them are fishermen. They've probably rowed in this boat before. They've been on this sea before. But this storm is going to trouble them deeply. Now, no matter how familiar you are or how old you are as a Christian, there's going to be storms come, no matter how seasoned you are, that'll shake your grace. And you'll never understand it all until we get into another land. Why the storm? But for some reason or other, the Lord knows about this storm, and I think He caused it. Since there's nothing here that they were wayfarers and out of the will of God, it looks like He made the storm. He said later on, He indicated at least that He'd meet them on the other side. But He didn't do it that way. And He wanted them to understand that when He's not with them, He's with them. And He'd like for you to understand that. That when you have your bad days, when you can't feel the presence of God, you haven't had a prayer answered, you go to church and nothing happens and your feelings are dull, and you don't know where God is, and you ask Him where He is,
that he cares about you. I thought, if he's watching them, he's watching me. So I can, as long as I'm in his will, I can throw my cares to the wind and say, the Lord that saved me and became my heavenly Father is watching me. Now, if you're interested in this Christian life, we're in a turmoil. We've never in this age been in the shape we're in. So much wickedness around us. So many ungodly things happening to the church and in the church and around the church. If our ancestors could see us at our best, they'd be ashamed of us. We're living below our privilege. And we're all in the boat together. Now here's Judas and Thomas and Peter in this boat. Their minds are not exactly where they ought to be. And they have done and are going to do things they oughtn't to do. But Jesus Christ now, in one of the other apostles of the other books, says that he saw them toiling and rowing. And he went unto them walking on the sea. Now, I've been where these disciples were in this boat. And I haven't quit many times. But I've quit. I used to quit about every Sunday afternoon. And now it's, I'll at least get over to Wednesday. But I know that there's a God in heaven that knows about me. And when your boat begins to rock and water come over the edges and you're dipping out as fast as you can and losing ground all the time, there's a man on the shore that's knowing about your trouble, and he's in control of the sea, and he knows about you and me, and he can walk to where you are through your trouble and put a light on you and rescue you. Amen. I'm glad that I've got such a God. He's not crippled and he's not crazy. He's the Lord of hosts, and he bought us with a price, and the wind will do what he wants it to. It cannot blow any harder than he'll let it blow. I see him standing on the shore, and them boys afraid and saying, now holy wind, that there's heavy enough. Right there. I don't want them boys to sink. Don't you let them sink now. Y'all think that's right? He's in control. I'm teaching them a lesson, Wynn. You just calm down a little bit now. And then he comes walking on the sea to where you are. Amidst all of this field. And I could just name to you again and again of the multitude of people that say they're right with God that are wicked and ungodly. And I know men and women, boys and girls, that are shady with their names on the church book. And there's times you can't preach because there's too much wickedness. I've preached my heart out and gone home and cried. And the Lord said, I'm still on the shore watching you and controlling the wind. Preach on. You see, my job is not to complain about what's going on or my hard times, but my job is to stay in the harness and preach the word of God till the last sun goes down and night comes on. He knows.
It's nighttime now. And he said they went 25 or 30 furlongs, and I have a problem with that. I don't like my King James Bible saying about anything. It looks like to me, I just sitting reading, And I'm honest with God. If I don't understand anything, I say, Lord, don't make no sense to me now. And I want you to help me here. Why didn't this writer of the King James Bible put down 25 furlongs and 75 feet and 3 inches? And the Lord said, I know where they were, but they didn't. So you're rowing in the muck in the field. And it's not any of your business. As long as you're heading in the right direction. And I'll tell you the troubles men of God run into and the church members run into. And you don't know sometimes, where am I, Lord? In this journey, am I doing the right thing? Am I paddling right? Am I going the right direction? He knows where you are. So now he's going to come walking on the sea. Now I want you to listen to this. These disciples in this boat are scared. I mean, they're scared. And here he comes in the night of walking. And lo and behold, he's going to walk on by them. That's what the scripture said. They're in the boat and he's just going to walk on by. That's what the word of God said. And somebody in the boat said, it's a ghost. You know, he don't have to get away very long until we get all mixed up about who he is. We don't know. A lot of times you go to the wrong church 3 Sundays and you'll get mixed up about where he is and who he is. You get under the realm of these hyped up evangelists, under them big tents, it won't be long till you'll get wrought up with them and begin to believe what's going on and send your children to hell. Yes. Stay in the boat. Amen. And they said, it's a spirit, it's a ghost. Do you know the real thing? Have you been schooled enough in the school of prayer and the scripture to know the real deal?
Amen.
When it comes by? Or will you just go with any loud noise?
Yeah.
I know lots of independent fundamentals that think noise is God. And if we holler loud enough and wave our hands and holler glory to God and jump up and down, that means God's around, but it don't. The only thing about this good old time way, you see, is not how high you jump, how loud the preacher preached, nor how educated, uneducated he is, but the mark of the old timer is the Holy Ghost. Do you know that you're in an old-time church? Listen to this old wore-out preacher tonight. You better throw away some junk out of your life. Now, some of you tonight's in a boat and in trouble right here, sitting, been going through this meeting, and has been shouting and everything down inside. You said, oh, Lord, they don't know where I am, trouble I'm in. But the man standing on the shore knows. Are you sick at heart? Are you having trouble about your salvation, whether you've been born again or not? Now, I want to touch you tonight. Now, it'll be my last night here, as far as I know, the last service. And I want to touch you down deep inside tonight and let you decide where you are and what your condition is in the sight of God. If I don't help you, I might as well be at home. If I could get you that are in trouble tonight, your husband may not know, your wife may not know, your children may not know, your mom and daddy may not know, but you're in trouble. In your boat, the wind is blowing and you don't know what to do. Now, I'm going to tell you that God knows about you no matter how old you are. No matter what your trouble is, He knows. But He's putting a test on these boys here tonight. But Jesus called out in the night, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now what Jesus is saying is, I know the wind's boisterous. When Jesus come by, the waves didn't slack up a bit. Just kept a blowing. He said, "Be of good cheer." That's before he got in the boat. That means while everything's rocking and rolling, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. I'm here. And Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, if it really is you now, if it really is you and not a ghost." Do you know the real thing when he comes by? He said, "If that's you, Lord, bid me come to you on the water." Could you get out of the boat tonight and quit being ordinary? Now, we got to several people in that boat. I'd say that Thomas said, "Now, listen, bud, I doubt if you can do that right there now. You better watch what you're doing." And I'd say Judas went through his pockets before he got out because he thought he'd never get back. He's a thief. Are you a doubter? Do you doubt what God can do for you? Do you think all the Holy Ghost experiences come to somebody else and not you? Are you robbing God? And the minute I said that, you thought of your pocketbook, but that ain't the only way you can rob God. Peter stepped out of the boat, and this water's still a-washing, coming over the sides of that boat. He'd done pretty good. Very good. Walked a ways on the water. Holds the record of that. But he saw the wind boisterous and was afraid. He lost faith. Have you about lost your faith? Oh, you say all them old timers. Thank God for them old timers. I like them old timers too, but this is my age. It looks like before the end of time comes, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, there wasn't but one family. Wasn't but one preacher. If that's the way it is, when Jesus comes, I'm going to be that preacher. Anything wrong with that? If there ain't but one family left, I'm going to name it to be my family. And I got a book up here that tells me what to do and how to do. Amen. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's the only way you'll ever walk on water. It's to get where he is. Oh, Lord, tonight, while the light's still shining, while there's still a church at 2 in the land that's struggling for the old-time way, get in. While there's some preachers tonight that ain't afraid, that'll not go off with society and look for big things, but'll walk according to the leadership and the commandments of God, because of the glory, for the glory of God, and because they love you. I'm not into politics at the house of God tonight. I'm going to tell you, preachers, tonight, if you can't pastor that little church propped up with sticks, you couldn't handle uptown. We've got our little place in our boat and our part of the sea. And our duty and responsibility is, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, is to operate in our realm where God put us. Every man, woman, boy, and girl tonight ought to find you an altar somewhere here or over yonder in the motel room and say, "I know you're watching me tonight." I'll tell you what, when I drive down the road, I'll say, "Lord, I appreciate you being with me," because he is. And you see, he's not some distant being up yonder with a beard and long hair with a stick in his hand waiting for you to do wrong so he can hit you. He's your loving heavenly Father. Amen. And I'm getting eager to see him. Me and Brother Robert. Brother Robert said tonight, I thought yesterday I was going on in. Amen. I don't know when you're going, but while we're still in the boat, thank God, do the best you can with what you have, wherever you are, for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Are you weary? Does your heart cry out for help from heaven? You got a fortified soul within you tonight. Or are you running weak? I tell this about a lady I know of. She's in the hospital in a coma part of the time. Some of the time she could talk. But she called a preacher one day and said, "Mama's awake. She wants to see you. Said you need to come quick. She's liable to go back under one hour." Preacher said, "I went as quick as I could and went in. They was all gathered around the bed." I said, "She's got something she wants to tell you. She won't tell us. She's got something she wants to tell you." He said, "Miss Lou," whatever her name was, "what is it?" She motioned him down. And she said, "There is a land that's fairer than day." Hallelujah. Here we are in this boat, Brother Robert. I don't know how many more paddle licks we're going to hit. It don't make no difference. When the trump of God sounds, I want to be sitting up in the boat, the oar in my hand, digging in, and singing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Save a wretch like me." Oh, how much further can you make it? How much more of this can we stand? With this wicked, trashy world at our throats, Satan's wanting to take over. And you walk outside of them doors and stay a while, and you'll think he has took over. But the man on the shore is still in control. Peter went under, but he wasn't about to drown, couldn't drown. You better think about that. Couldn't have drowned it, because Lord was there. But Peter had good sense, you know. He said, "Lord, save me." He didn't try to save his telephone. I don't know why I hit that, but I'm glad I did. But he said, "Lord, save me." I don't believe he said, "Lord, save me." And he said, "Lord, save me." And that word "immediately" is in there. I really like that. Stretch forth his hand. I've said to this people many times, I looked it up in the dictionary. It says no sound in between, no time in between. No time passed from the time he sung, said, "Lord, save me," until he had a hold of the Lord's hand. Immediately. Picked him up and pulled him out. He said, "Oh, thou little faith. Now look up here at me. Oh, thou little faith." When you've had your head down now, you feel better being in the camp meeting. But you've had your head down. "Oh, thou little faith. You thank the God that wrote this book, that saved your soul, brought you down here and set you in the midst of all this preaching and singing. You think he can take care of all your tomorrows?" I believe he can. Stand up here, son. Peter. Peter met the Lord out there, and I believe the Lord got a hold of him. You say, what did he say? You'd have to have been out there. You can sit down there. You get out there where the waves are, and you'll get a hold of some stuff nobody else can get a hold of.
Yeah.
If you want to sit in your easy seat all the time, won't everybody be good to you and never say anything bad to you? There'll be a lot of things you won't find out. But if you're down in the pits of grinding, when they're calling on you and cussing, and I carried on revival one time down in a little old town, right in the middle of a little old town, wasn't over five buildings in the town. And they made it up before I got there to never say amen to anything I ever said. And it didn't. Preacher get up and say, it's good to have you here today, and everybody say amen, amen. But when I got up and nobody said amen, they better not, they'd already come to that agreement. Can you imagine? You say, what'd you do, preacher? Preached hellfire and brimstone, loved them, went home. One night I went home and came in the house, my Bible in my hand, threw it up on the chest of drawers, and said, if that's all it is to it, I quit. My wife hurried to me and said, wait a minute. Pick that Bible back up. She was crying. Pick the Bible back up. I picked it up. She said, make me a promise that you'll go to the prayer place and take your Bible with you. I said, all right, honey. One of them low places where they'd scorn me and hurt me deep. I went to my prayer place, and when I come in that time, I throwed the Bible back up there hollering. She said, all right now. Oh, tonight. How long will you stay like you are? Did you know him and Peter walked back, I suppose, arm in arm together to the boat?
Yeah.
Peter said, thank you, Lord, for getting me out of that. Have you thanked him today for saving you? Have you complained on him today for hard times?
Yeah.
Oh, did you know when the Lord, all that thing, all this time, the sea is just rolling. You see, you can come to meeting and your boat are rocking and the wind blowing to where you can't hardly stand it. But when Jesus got in the boat, the wind ceased. Is he in your boat tonight? Would you let him get in your boat? Would you let him? Oh, tonight, right in this wicked age, call on him. He sees your boat. He knows where you are. You're his child. He cares for you. He's your heavenly Father. I love you tonight. I appreciate you listening to me. Tomorrow, I'll head back up the road. Out a little old church up the side of the road. And Greensburg on Green County on Green River. And I call them my greenhorns. I got there, but don't you call them that. That's my place. I don't know how many more meetings I'll be able to hold. I'm shutting down now, seems like. It doesn't make any difference. He's in control of the sea. And I'm not calling bad and hard times. I'm just saying I am where I am and you are where you are, and settle down to it and go to work for God. Everybody stand. I'm not going to give an invitation. You can come if you want to. If you want to ask God for help tonight, that'll be all right.